This morning is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all of you. And it's good to hear words from the different children speaking about their father, and even those that do not have their father anymore. Several of you shared on that, and that can be a lot different as we share when we think of what our dad was, as opposed to even when our dad is still here. Because there's so many things that dad does, that dads do, that we don't think about it until after he's gone. It's like, oh yeah, he did this. And so each one of us, we had a father, of course. And each one of us, even in situations where maybe your home life wasn't ideal, and which one is? You know, who's ever had an ideal upbringing? But we can still honor God because of our fathers. Well, this morning, I want to talk about letting Dad be Dad. And how we can honor our dads. So it's kind of continuing on in the theme this morning. I want to read out of 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 13 through 17. And if you want to turn to that, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And this is Paul actually addressing the church in the Thessalonian church, I think they would say the church of Thessalonica. But he's talking to the church people in this passage. But this morning, I'm going to apply it to each one of you here that are fathers. Each one of you here that are potential fathers. Verse 13 says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. I just want to stop right there. He says in there, the first word is the word but. And again, when you see that, you look back and to see what why he inserted that word in there. And what he's talking about earlier in the scripture is how unrighteousness and wickedness and the lawless one and people that come in our midst that are against the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they're trying to persuade us otherwise. That's what he's saying. But then he says, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you. He was proud of this church of Thessalonians. Because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which He called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think I might have alluded to this several weeks ago in one of the messages that I shared. And that is the fact of why are we here? And then also, I know you've heard this, and that is, why do bad things happen to good people? And we could take it, turn it around. Why do good things happen to really bad people? But the one I want to think about is, why do bad things happen to good people? And then we have a saying of something like, well, it's just not really fair what happened to him or what happened to her, because he or she was a good person. And as I shared the other week, that statement is actually, you can talk about it, but it's sort of an invalid point. Because somehow we have it in our minds that as to why God put us here on this earth, and that is that we would have an enjoyable life. And oh, by the way, He'd also like us to bring some glory and honor and praise to His name as we live out our life. Now, I'll hasten on to say, as God's people, there is definitely so many things that we enjoy because of His blessings. And what we call, and Brother Elvin shared on this the other day, of what do we call blessings? You know, we say how we're so blessed. And we won't go into all of that. But our purpose on this life is for obtaining glory to God. And for us as individuals, in the short lifespan that you live, in the short lifespan that I live, it's just this little bitty dot or line on the whole string of eternity. But what is my purpose here on this earth? And in the whole string of eternity, my purpose on this earth is that God would get the most glory. God's purpose for putting me here is to bring glory to Himself. And so often, our stretch of time on this earth is not long enough that we can actually see the results of some of the bad, what we say are bad things that happen to us. If we'd live long enough, we could see that bad thing that we thought was bad was actually turned out to be a good thing in the fact that it brought a lot more praise, a lot more honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's read on. Verse 15 in 2 Thessalonians 2 says, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle." Stand fast and hold your traditions. I was looking it up yesterday, and I'm not sure the exact number, but it's something like maybe 10 or 13 times that the word tradition is mentioned in the New Testament. And there's probably, and again, I don't have it written down, but 3 or 4 times maybe that tradition is used in a negative sense where Jesus was talking to or about the Pharisees and in their traditions and the things and the way they do things is actually hindering them in their worship and proper acceptance of who God really is. But then Paul uses the word tradition a number of times, and he says to hold on to the traditions which you were taught from youth. And this morning, I'll just clue you in a little bit. I'm not going to get into that because I want to spend a little bit more time on that, and maybe next Sunday we'll get more into some of those traditions and what all that means. But he says, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. So he's telling us that evidently there's the possibility, there's the chance that you won't hold on. There's the chance, and maybe a good chance, that if you don't make yourself be diligent in holding on, that you won't hold on because someone or others will come in and they can pull you away from your secure position. Verse 16, "Now may the Lord Jesus Christ Himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Comfort your hearts and then establish you in every good word and work. So he's saying, he's speaking out a blessing to the church. And this morning, that's my blessing to each one of you, particularly as men, particularly as dads, as fathers. That God would comfort your hearts, that God would establish you in good words and in good works. That you would live your life in such a way that every morning when you wake up, you are focused on what your purpose is for that day in reference to what God's Word would tell us to do. Today, you don't have to watch too much television or listen to too much radio, see too much of what's happening in the world around us to understand that the role, the position of fatherhood is really diminished. It's dimmed down, that it's not really that big of a deal. I've even heard in the last week or two of there's actual real live people that are actually speaking these words and saying that they really don't believe that fathers are even necessary. We don't have to go into a lot of explanation to realize how moronic of a statement that is. But brothers and sisters, these statements come from people who are supposed to be knowledgeable people, who are supposed to be people who are educated. But yet, the most basic thing in life, they would try to deny. So as I look out amongst y'all today, as I look out at this man and this man and this man and this man, I see what is lacking in so many places. And that is the fact that today we have fathers who don't act like fathers. And as I look out amongst the crowd today, it's like, I hate to even say it, but I think it's a sad but true fact, and that is what we have here today is probably a very maybe unusual, and it's becoming more of an unusual circumstance, an unusual setting, and that is that we actually have dads and moms, we have fathers and mothers sitting together, being with one another. Dad being a father to his son, dad being a father to his daughter. And more in the world today, we don't see that, brothers and sisters, and I want to commend you for that. And I think more and more, as the world gets darker, just the very presence of you and your wife and your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 children walking the streets in downtown Greenville or wherever it is, and they look at you and it's like, wow, I can tell he's a male, I can tell she's a female, I can tell this girl is a girl, I can tell this boy is a boy. That speaks loudly in this, our culture that we have today. It speaks much louder than what you and I can even imagine, because for the most of us, this is where we grew up. This is who we are. So we don't really think about it, that the lifestyle, the way we live, is so unusual. It's just normal for us. But you don't have to look real far out into the world around us to see that it's very unusual to see settings where you have mom and dad living together and actually acting like they enjoy each other's company and actually being civil towards each other. And then having the little guys that come along and they look up to dad, they look up to mom. That's something, brothers and sisters, we don't want to lose. That's something, brothers and sisters, I and Elvin and Tommy, we're willing to fight for. We're willing to fight to maintain that we can continue to maintain a witness in that arena to where this is who we are. This is what God has said in His Word. This is how He created us. I've got part 1, 2, and 3, and just for the record, part 1 and 2 is not going to be expounded on this morning because I don't want to rush through that one. But I wrote down here, just for you dads, and I'm going to move on to another part, that your little children, dads, your little children want to be just like you when they grow up. I don't think there's anyone here that would contest that. When your kids are little, they look up to dad and they want to be just like dad. My message to you, fathers, make sure that that decision that that little guy, that little girl is making as they look up to you to want to be just like you, make sure that that's a good decision for them. And the ball is in your court, fathers. For them to want to be just like you and for that to be a good thing is something that only you, Dad, can change. No one else can. No one else can do anything with that. Philippians 4:9. Paul says, these things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace will be with you. Dad, would you be willing this afternoon to tell your children, to sit them down and say, son, daughter, you just watch me. And the very things that I do, you just mimic me. And the God of peace will be with you. God's blessing will rest on your life. Children, young children, adult children, honoring Dad. Proverbs 13:1 says that a wise son heeds his father's instructions. The fifth command in Exodus 20, verse 12, is to honor your father and mother that your days may be long on this earth. It's also true that you can have long days on this earth if you don't honor your father and your mother. But I believe that as you live the days and you do not honor father and mother, your life will be such that you wish your days were just short on this earth. Because this is one of the commands that God gave, that we are to honor father and mother. A very, very, very important command. You might think, well, you don't know my dad. You don't know how my dad treated me. You don't know what my situation was. But when we can take, even in a bad situation, and we can honor God's word and obey His word, even in the midst of a bad situation, and the people around you that know you, they see this happening. They see you honoring your father. And they would know that your father is not worthy of your honor. But they see you doing that. That speaks volumes, because that is something that I don't think is really all that possible short of the grace of God living and reigning in and through you. And for you, as a son or daughter, that you take and you make a decision. It's not a decision that you do based on feeling. It's a decision that you make based on what's right. And that speaks volumes to the world around us. Ephesians 6, verse 2 and 3. I'm going to turn to that one. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with them and that they may live long on the earth. I don't see much of an argument. I didn't read that right. It says, honor your father and mother so that you may, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. So what he's telling us here is for you to honor father and mother. And again, this morning, we're dealing directly with father. But for you as a son or a daughter to do that, and it doesn't say anything about whether they've done this or this for you or whether they've done this and this bad towards you. But it just says to honor father and mother. And it says that you may live well and live long. How simple is that to understand? We don't and can't fully grasp it. But all we know is that it's God's word and it is truth. It will stand. So some ways for children to honor their father. And this can also apply to father-in-law. Number one I have is to be faithful to God. No matter what, every choice you make is that you would consider, what is God's will in this? What does God want me to do? Because even when you do that, you will make decisions maybe based on what God wants you to do. But your father would look at you and say, boy, I hate in my own self to see that happen. But yet, you're following God. And I'm saying in the realm of a child moving and leaving the place where their parents are from. But yet, the father recognizing that this child, this son, this daughter of mine is worshiping God Almighty and is honoring God and is open to hearing what God is telling him or her and where he's leading. Be faithful to God. Second one I have is be committed. Be committed, child, son, daughter, to your father. And that is in the fact that no matter what, you will care for him. I don't think it comes as a big surprise, but that generally the father is older than the child. So as time goes on, dad gets older, and it can even get to a point where dad is not able to do the things that we always looked at dad as being able to do. But for you as a child to make that decision, even before you know what that commitment level is, but that you will be committed to him. Number three, be verbal. Be verbal to your father. And that's one I think I see so often we fall down on the job. We're kind of slack in that one. Especially if you're a good kid. Because it's like, dad knows that I love him. Dad knows, like I said the other one, that I'll care for him. Really? But what I've experienced in seeing as life progresses, as people get older, they're still in their right mind, but they're not as sure about things and what's going on around them. And I think what happens is as we get older, and especially it's probably a bigger deal for us men, and that is as we get older, we get to where our brain is still functioning, but our body cannot do the things that it used to do. And we think we can, but we try it and it doesn't work. And that creates insecurity. And I think as dads get older, it can create a thing of like, well, what am I going to do if I can't mow my own grass? What am I going to do? I've got this and this and this. What am I going to do if I can't take care of it? And I think for dads especially, we're a lot more tight-lipped in what our thoughts are, in what our fears are. I think you ladies have a lot better grip on that than us men do. And that is, you express these things. But for us men, so often, we carry these fears inside of us. But what would it do to your dad? What would it do to your father-in-law if you, and especially for you as male children, if you would tell them, number one, that you love them, number two, that you will take care of them, that you are committed to them, that you will be there for them, period. Without a whole lot more discussion. I think it will change relationships. I know it will. The next one I have is for children, to their parents. And that is, be considerate. Be considerate of your own conduct. Be considerate of how you treat your wife, especially in relation to considering your father-in-law and your mother-in-law, because that's their flesh and blood. But be considerate on how you teach and train your children, how you bring them up. And I would like to suggest even that there's things that maybe your dad feels deeply about. And I would like to suggest, take that into consideration as you lead your family. I would like to even suggest that you would take that into consideration even to the point to where you look at it and you know that he cares deeply about this, but to you, it's not a big deal. You could do this way or this way or this way, and you could still feel that you're at peace with God and everything's okay. But would you be willing, as a son, as a daughter, to live your life in such a way that the things that you know Father cares about deeply, that you would consider his feelings, that you would consider his ways of wanting things done? It doesn't mean that you don't get to live your life, but it comes back to honoring your Father. It comes back to honoring your Father, and when you do that, my Bible says, so that you may live long and so that you will have a good life. I don't understand how that works, but I know it does work. And then the last one I have is, be diligent. Be diligent in teaching and training your children in the ways of God's truth. Because when you do that, when you live your life in such a way that your dad can look back on you and say, wow, you might do some things different than the way I do, but I know you're following God's principles. You're following God's laws in the way you live, and you're also passing it down to your children. And that is so, so meaningful. Ephesians 2 says that we're to honor our father and mother. And when we do that, brothers and sisters, everybody wins. There's no losers when we take and honor our father and our mother, because that is the first command that was given to us by God with promise. And there's not a one of us here that would say that we don't want to have a long life and that we don't want to have a good life. In 3 John 4, let me read verse 3. Let me read verse 2. I was just going to do verse 4. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth. Then here's the verse I wanted. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Brothers and sisters, if you ever want to make a Father's Day, if you ever want to make really impact, a lasting impact, and say maybe there's a son in this audience here, and for some reason you would happen to go to the home place, to the home state of where this son comes from, and you would speak to the father of the son, and you would tell that father, yeah, yep, he's in our church. Fine, brother. And then start talking about his children and how he's teaching them, how he's training them, how he's involved in doing God's work, and how he is a tremendous blessing in the church. If you want to find a subject that is safe to talk about, and not only a subject that is safe to talk about, but a subject that will really, really not have awkward silences in it, you can do that. There's no greater joy than what you can have when you hear that my children are walking in truth. And I look at you dads this morning. You have young children, and there's dads here that have older children. There is nothing that is worth the giving up of a son or a daughter to Satan and his kingdom. There is not a father here this morning that would not be willing to give up, I believe, even his life, his physical life, if it would mean that a son or a daughter that is walking away from God and is not walking in truth. But if it would take my life physically to be annihilated, that I would be willing to do that in order to know that my child is in relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to urge you young fathers this morning, you children, you have no idea what all that means until you get to a point to where you have grown children. And you see them walking in truth. I cannot imagine the heartache that parents go through seeing grown children walking away from the very truths that they were taught. Because there is nothing that hurts greater than that, I don't believe. I have no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. Jeremy is going to play a song, and then we'll have closing prayer. Listen to the words of this song as it's being sung.
Was awake before the sun, with his Bible opened up, seeking truth with every single page he turned. Anyone could see my daddy lived what he believed, with a gentle heart where passion for Jesus burned. Disagree, but the longer I live, it's clear to me. I want to be that man who loves the Lord with all his heart, just like the word commands, who takes a stand. Family as he holds.
Thank you, Jerry, for sharing some of those things. When you look at, as a young father, I look at the task of raising four children. It seems daunting. To be able to raise children that want to grow up and serve the Lord, that would be, it's very big task. Why don't we close, have a word of prayer, and then I think there's some few things down there yet, so let's pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that we've heard this morning, Father, for the encouragement that we've heard to be the kind of fathers we need to be. Father, I just ask that you would just be with us this week as we go from here. Help us not to think that this is just one special day that we celebrate fathers and we want to think about the responsibility, but that we would take that responsibility every day of the year, and would live our lives with that as a focus of raising children to honor and glorify you. Father, I just ask you to be with us today and keep us. In your name I pray. Amen.